And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are. It's over. It is over. Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.
Hello, this is Paul Sollentroff of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast, where we are flashing back to the 2014 season with Mike Kennedy and Bob Hall. We're going to talk about the sixth-ranked Shockers and their 72-69 win over Missouri State in overtime at JQH Arena, January 11th, 2014. Closest game of the regular season, and one that the Shockers had, I guess what, Mike, your research revealed was the biggest comeback in program history. Let's just start. What do we remember about that game, gentlemen?
Well, what stands out to me, and I've gone back and looked at it, the Shockers were down by 18 at halftime, which certainly looked a little desperate, and the shooting figures were incredible for Missouri State. But what always stands out to me is that the Shockers started a pretty good comeback to start the second half and got it down to 10 pretty quickly. And you're thinking, okay, here they go. This is right on track, and they got plenty of time. And then the lead went back to 19 with 11 and a half minutes to go. And at that point, you thought, yeah, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen tonight.
Let me fill in some details there. Yes, 42-24 at halftime. Missouri State had made 8 of 14 three-pointers. I think Austin Reuter had maybe the game of his career. And then Missouri State up 54-35 with 11:48 to play. And then the Shockers kind of got things reversed. Bob, your memories of that night.
Well, exactly what Mike just said. Being down and then cutting it, they're down 18, and then cutting it back to 11, and then a minute or so later, the lead's back up to 19. And at that point, I looked to Mike, and he looked at me and goes, hey, we're not winning this game tonight. And it's just one of those nights where you weren't playing very well. And, you know, that was about the time of the year where people were starting to talk about undefeated, because we were definitely the favorite in the Valley. And I think Bob Lutz started writing about, you know, they could run the table in the Valley, you know. And
I think Bob was way out in front of that. He didn't wait till game 16. I think after about game 4, he was on the unbeaten.
He was pushing undefeated. Yes. And I said, you're out of your mind. They're not going to be undefeated. I said, because as a coach, I know that you're going to have one game where you just stink it up and you're just not going to play well and somebody's going to knock you off. So I thought it was kind of funny. But they beat BYU in a close game at the CBE Classic up in Kansas City. They beat St. Louis in a comfort behind in St. Louis. Had some tough conference games, Temple here. So it didn't look like an overpowering team at that point. So when they got down 19 with about, 14 minutes to go, 11 minutes to go? 11 minutes to go down 19, I thought, okay, they're not winning this one.
You know, and the other thing is, looking back on that season, after they ended up going undefeated, you don't really think of anybody even being a close second best. But Missouri State, I think, as you mentioned, Paul, at that point was 12-3 and certainly looked like a good enough ball club that on a good night certainly could knock off Wichita State.
Yeah, that was a real pivot point, I guess, to use kind of a trendy phrase, and for both those teams. The Shockers were 16-0, 3-0. Missouri State was playing well. They were 12-3. They were 2-1. And at that point, you know, if you wanted to conjure up a team that might threaten Wichita State in the Valley, they were kind of the team. And after that, Marcus Marshall got hurt during that game and ended up leaving the team almost a year to the day later. And his career never really got back on track at Missouri State. Missouri State never really, you know, in some ways recovered. They really sent them in a different path after that loss.
One of the things working against the Shockers, believe it or not, was they had just won three games pretty easily in the league play. I was looking that up. They beat Southern on the road by 15, beat UNI at home by 12, and beat Illinois State by 19. So they're coming off those three wins. And, you know, your team, when you win like that, it's really easy to come in overconfident. So they probably came into this game like, hey, we're going to cruise and do the same thing we did these previous three games.
And shooting is such a big factor sometimes. It can really kind of minimize differences in teams. And Missouri State was, Paul mentioned, 8 of 14 at the half, 65% overall, and the Shockers were shooting 36.5%, and it just looked like one of those nights, too, where the shots just weren't going to fall. And as it turned out, they didn't any better in the second half, but the defense got turned up several notches.
Yeah, a kid named, a little white kid, a two-guard named Reuter was
Austin
hot for
Reuter.
Them. He had 3 out of 4 threes in the first half, and then, of course, Marcus Marshall, he had 3 out of 4 threes in the first half. So their guards were just lighting it up.
Let me get a few more details in there. Once, when the Shockers got down 54-35 with 11:48 to play, they went on a 16-5 run that got them back in it. Press was a big deal. They got some turnovers, and then they won the game at the free throw line. They were 19-23 from the line in the second half, 31-40 at the game. They outscored Missouri State 31-11 at the free throw line. Cle'Anthony Early 22 points. Fred Van Vliet 16. Baker 15, and Fred kind of took over late, scored 7 of Wichita State's 8 points in overtime. 12 of his 16 points came in the final 2 minutes of regulation and in overtime. So a big kind of closing game. Wasn't a great Fred Van Vliet game, but in the last few minutes and in overtime, he did what the Shockers needed.
Something you mentioned there that was interesting to me, because the press definitely started to turn it. For the game, Wichita State had 11 turnovers and Missouri State 13, so it was almost even, but points off turnovers was 18-5 in favor of Wichita State. So they really started to score off their pressure, and that got them back in it.
Definitely. The press is what turned the game around. They were running different presses, full court zone, full court man presses, and they got 2 or 3 quick steals that went for easy layups at the other end. And I think that just, the momentum got flipped over at that point. And then the Shocker players started believing that they could come back. And then I think another key thing was that Missouri State got in foul trouble early in the second half. And so the Shockers got into the bonus very early into the second half and got into the double bonus very early in the second half, and that allowed them to come back and shoot free throws with the clock stopped. And when you're coming from that big a deficit, that really helps if you can score at the line.
Yeah, Paul mentioned that second half free throw shooting was just incredible, 19 of 23. And mentioning Fred's performance, in some ways that was almost the ultimate Fred Van Vliet game. When you look at his numbers, 3 for 11 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, but still ended up with 16 points and just found a way to make big plays down the stretch.
When the Shockers were down 19, Ken Pomeroy's calculations gave Wichita State a 7% chance of winning. Ron Baker kind of got them going right away. He hit 2 threes, and then the press kind of really started to take hold, and they were within 10 points with under 10 minutes to play. So then I think pretty quickly you're feeling, well, 10 points with 10 minutes, that's manageable. And the other conditions, the fouls, all those kind of things really started to play in at that point.
Coaches talk a lot about that when they're trying to encourage their teams and coming from behind. If you're in a situation where you can make up a point a minute, that's a doable thing. So when you get 10 down with 10 minutes to go, you start to feel like it's very possible.
Yeah, especially when the other team's starting to turn the ball over, because you start turning it over and they get a little bit hesitant, and our guys get a little more confident and knocking down the threes. When Ron starts knocking down threes, you know, he could be very streaky. When he got hot, he'd get hot. And then I just remember a lot Fred driving to the basket and just taking, they, instead of shooting jump shots like they did in the first half, I think they were 2 out of 10 in the first half, something like that, they started driving to the basket and taking the ball to the basket and getting fouled. And they were just a lot more aggressive in the second half than they were the first half.
You know, on the defensive end, Missouri State went from shooting 65-2 in the first half to 25.9% in the second half. And some of that's obviously going to be missed shots on their own, but Wichita State really turned up the defensive pressure.
I think a couple interesting, the psychological approaches to the game kind of came out later. I think in the second half, Greg Marshall kept telling them, and maybe even at halftime, that, you know, everybody's watching this score, that everybody out there is ready for the Shockers to flop and to kind of show that they're not really the unbeaten team. So I think he used that as a motivating factor. And then the players later said he was real calm at halftime, that he had kind of felt like, you know, this team is 16-0. They had played so well. I'm not going to go in there at halftime and really bury them, because we've got more games to play. And I think that ended up being the right approach.
Yeah, they had beaten Tennessee, you know, at Intrust Bank Arena, went down to Alabama, beat Alabama on the road, beat Davidson. So this team had been tested. It didn't win. It wasn't just blowing people away, but it had been tested against some pretty good opponents. So I think he knew he had something special there. And, you know, I think it came down, obviously, that big play with Fred driving and the block charge call. That what do you remember about that? That was that, I mean, I remember that just being the pivotal play of the game.
And I just remember that it was close enough. There's no way I could have thrown a fit if they'd called it a charge. It was as even as it could be. There was no way of telling which way it was going to go, and they got the block call and ultimately a 3-point play. And the other thing I remember so well about that trip was Bob and I didn't travel with the team, so we stayed over that night and came back the next morning. We were listening to a morning talk show or sportscast or something. That's all they could talk about was what a terrible call that was and how Missouri State got shafted out of the game.
And the play you're talking about, 47 seconds to go. Fred drew the block on Nathan Shear, Missouri State's Nathan Shear. 3-point play, free throw, cut the lead to 64-63, and then the Shockers ended up forcing overtime, and that was kind of the period where Fred really got to the line and really helped the Shockers close out that game.
It was such a wild shot. He was driving to the basket the whole second half. Well, that time he drove to the basket, and there was help there. Like you said, Shear was set up, or not quite set up, and Fred ran into him. I mean, it was quite a collision, and he kind of threw up a wild shot just trying to get the two free throws, and I didn't notice at the time, but the shot went in, and I was surprised when the 2 points went up and he was only shooting one free throw, because I didn't notice that the shot had gone in, because it was such a collision.
I think when I talked to him afterwards, he wasn't sure. It just kind of put a spin on it, and it kind of crawled over. It was not the prettiest of shots, that's for sure.
He had to make the free throw with a loud chorus of boos raining down on him from that arena.
And you mentioned the free throw shooting. The Shockers carried it over into the overtime. They made one of three field goals in the overtime, but six of eight free throws, and outscoring Missouri State 8-5 in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, they started missing free throws. They were 2 for 9 in the overtime. So Shockers made all their free throws in overtime, and Missouri State couldn't make any. 2 out of 9 is very, very low. So it wasn't a pretty overtime when they got into – actually, it shouldn't have been overtime. Fred had 2 free throws at the end of regulation, and we were just sure he's going to make both of them. Made the first one and then missed the second one, and that's what caused it to go overtime. They got a shot at the end of regulation, but it was a long desperation shot. But I would have bet a lot of money that Fred was going to make both those free throws, and Shockers were going to win at the end of regulation.
It was forgivable, I guess.
Biggest Wichita State comeback, 6th largest by any Missouri Valley Conference team at that time, according to the Valley Research. Fred had 16 points in 43 minutes. Clay Anthony Early, 22 points. They were certainly two of the more important figures in that game. A couple guys that were kind of under the radar. Shadrack LaField played well. 6 points, 9 rebounds, 3 block shots. Came up with a big offensive rebound late in that. There was kind of a crazy sequence that ended up being important for Wichita State. He was a part of that. And then Evan Wessel didn't play a whole lot, but he did have one big defensive play late in the game, kind of walled up when Jamar Gully was trying to bowl to the basket, ended up in a turnover, and that was a critical play in that game.
Yeah, I remember Shadrack having a couple of big blocks when the Shockers needed stops, and then Darius Carter came in, hit 4 out of 5 buckets off the bench, so he gave him a little post presence in there. So, there was a lot of key plays that if any one of them hadn't been made, the Shockers wouldn't have won that ball game.
I know after the game, and maybe even it was a year later, Fred said, you know, he looked at that as a turning point game. It kind of showed them what they needed to do, how they had to approach games. Do you remember any changes? Do you remember how that game maybe affected the rest of the season?
Not real specifically, but I think regardless of the undefeated record or whatever, a game like that in anybody's season, I think, can create kind of a feeling that there's something magical going on here. If we can pull this one out, we can do about anything. And I'm sure it had some of that effect on that team.
And when you come from behind and win, I think it gives you a lot of confidence in each other as a player, and it gives you a lot of confidence in the coaching staff. That we can win, we can come back, and it gives you a belief and a confidence in each other. They did it at St. Louis. They came from behind and won that game. And now they did it again in conference play against Missouri State. So I think it carries over. And I think it also, you know, I'm sure it gave Coach Marshall some ammunition. You better be ready to play every game in league play, no matter what the other team is, because they can get hot and get a big lead on you.
You win like that, and you sort of start to develop an expectation that you're going to win, no matter what the circumstances are, as opposed to hoping that we figure out a way to come back.
So that made the Shockers 17-0, 4-0, ended up being the biggest regular season obstacle to the 18-0 Valley record, the 35-0 record before the NCAA, or before the final game of the NCAA tournament. So certainly in a season where they did have a lot of blowouts, that was one of the memorable games and one of the close calls to stopping what ended up being a real historic season for the Shockers.
You remember talking to their radio guys when they came to Wichita later in that season, and they came up and they looked at us and they were just shaking their heads like, we had you guys. If you hadn't gotten that one call where Fred Van Vliet ran our guy over, you wouldn't be undefeated right now. So hey, you guys owe us a drink.
When you're on the other end of one of those, you certainly remember those kinds of things also.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That was turned out to be a defining game for both of those basketball programs. Okay, thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. This has been our look back at the 2014 overtime victory over Missouri State. Thanks to Mike Kennedy and Bob Hall, and thanks to listening.
Bradshaw into Wingate. Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Kuznart. Threw it away. Kuznart to Ryan Martin for the dunk! The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16! It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jumper by Smith is no good. Wichita State to the Sweet 16. Malcolm out near the timeline. Left side of the floor to Baker. Ron works deeper to the wing. Fires a 3. Good. Ron Baker with his third 3-point field goal of the game. And Wichita State goes ahead by 4.